This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
One time, a brother mentioned how special he felt being invited to an event by a Muslim figure that he really looked up to, and someone who has a lot of prominence in the community, and how well they treated this man. He said, "If this is how human beings treat us, I can't imagine how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will treat us as believers in the next life in paradise. May Allah grant us Jannah." It was reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Indeed, from the honor of Allah is to honor the older Muslim." He said the gray-haired Muslim, meaning the one who is older, as well as the carrier of the Quran, the one who memorizes the Quran, so they've memorized it, who is neither extreme in it nor turning away from it. It's the one who's practicing it properly. Now, an older Muslim is honored for their many years of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and generally for the fact that in Islam, we are required to have respect for the elders, for those who are also older than us. And similarly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us to respect the memorizers of Quran. But the memorizers of Quran here are specified, and they are specified in not being extreme. I mean, they have not transgressed, and also they have not turned away. They have not abandoned the Quran, so they're not practicing what they memorized. He's emphasized here, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, two groups in this one hadith. The one who carries the Quran in this hadith is living a balanced life. They're representing the Quran. Who does that remind you of? Aisha radiallahu anha, she reports that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's character was like the Quran walking on the earth, meaning representing its teachings as a human being. The Quran can raise you up if you respect it and you live by it. And if you go against it, it might be a reason to be disgraced or to waste one's potential. The Quran can lift you up, and if you neglect it, you're wasting your potential, so you're brought down. It is reported from Nafi', the son of Abdul Harith, he met Umar radiallahu anhu. He met him, and Umar made him a governor over Mecca. So Nafi' asked him a question: "Who have you placed as a governor or as a ruler, as a person in charge of Ahlul Wadi, a specific area?" And he said, "Ibn Abza." And he said, or Ibn Ubza. And he said, "Who is that? Who is Ibn Ubza?" He said, "He is a slave from amongst our slaves, Mawalina," basically someone who was freed. So he's a slave who was set free. And Nafi' responded back, "And you put a slave over them as a governor?" He's asking to confirm. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Yes, indeed. He recites the book of Allah, and he's knowledgeable of the obligations," meaning he's knowledgeable of Islam, so he's fit for it. And then he said, "Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not say, 'Indeed, Allah raises a people by this book, bihadha al-kitab'? Allah raises people, and of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes others to be disgraced by it," meaning because they reject it. I'm sure you've experienced this yourself, or you've witnessed this in pretty much most communities, especially this following scenario. You enter a large masjid in a community waiting for the prayer to start. And it could even be the month of Ramadan, so there's a larger congregation than usual. So the crowd parts, and stepping to the front is a young man, 14 years old, 15 years old, 19 years old, a younger man than usual. He stands in front of a congregation, sometimes hundreds or over 1,000 people, and some people are double, triple, or even quadruple his age, and yet he leads them in one of the most important acts of worship. And now this is a community act of worship. What made him qualified to lead a community that is more senior than him, more experienced in life, so much more accomplished in worldly things? Because his accomplishment is one that qualifies him to do so. He is a carrier of the Quran, and the Quran lifts and raises its people as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides. Can you think of any other scenario where that young man would lead that congregation in anything else, in any other situation? And this applies not just during your life, but when you leave this world as well, in these specific types of scenarios. Jabir radiallahu anhu, famous companion, he narrates the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to gather together two men from those who were killed in the Battle of Uhud in one piece of clothing. So he'd cover both of these individuals, any two people. But then he would ask this question. He would ask which one of them knew more of the Quran. If one of the two was pointed out to him, he would lower him into the grave first and say, "I am a witness over them on the Day of Judgment." He would then order that they be buried as they were in their blood, and they were not washed, nor were they prayed over. These are Shuhada, and this was the Battle of Uhud. The question is, why was the one who memorized more Quran placed into the grave first? This was a way to show honor and respect for them, but it doesn't mean anything less in terms of the burial process for the one who's placed second. One time, as a child, I believe I was maybe 12 years old, we had to leave from a program that we had at a park to another building. So we needed to carpool from one place to the other, and it was a large group of students. We had chaperones with us as well. Now, I wanted to go with a specific friend whose father was driving because of the car. It was a nice car. I was 12 years old, so we gathered around the car, and as he approached, he looked at us, and then he apologized, and he said, "I'm sorry, I can't take all of you. One of you will have to go in another car. There wasn't enough space." Now, we're friends, and we're young. We're looking at each other. We're jokingly suggesting different things, who's going to leave, who's going to stay, but we all wanted to go in that car. And then he asked this question. He said, "Which one of you has memorized more Quran?" So at that time, my friend pointed at me, and the chaperone basically said, "Okay, you'll come with us and you'll go with the other car." My friend didn't mind. He laughed. He took it as a challenge to memorize more Quran later on. But of course, I felt bad at the time, and I didn't realize as a child what the chaperone was doing in implementing this hadith. He was actually following in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a situation that seems very insignificant. Who's getting in the car and who's not? Who's taking another ride? The people of the Quran are those who recite it day and night. They try to act upon its rulings. If they fall short, they go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They try not to waver. But it does not befit the people of the Quran to be harsh in their manners, to be easily angered, to be people of profanity, inappropriate words, but rather they are easygoing, they are forgiving with the people, and on their tongue you find good speech. The people of the Quran, Ahlul Quran, are reminded not to indulge in the actions of people who are ignorant. It does not befit the one who carries Kalamullah in their hearts to fall into acts of ignorance like the one who does not have the Quran in his or her heart. Al-Fulayl, rahimahullah, one of the earliest scholars, he said, "The bearer of the Quran, the one who holds the Quran, is the bearer of the banner of Islam. He should not distract himself with the people who distract themselves," meaning they waste time, they kill time, "nor talk about nonsense with those who talk about nonsense, all out of due respect for the Quran." I'll leave you with this. Is there someone in the past or present you feel is honored by the Quran? You don't have to mention their names. It's better not to, perhaps. But tell us about them. Let us inspire one another. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst the people of the Quran.